This is the Internet Multicasting Service. Hopper Audio presents excerpts from A Clockwork Orange, read by author Anthony Burgess, who describes a grim industrial future.
You could pity that poor old Dim the Dim didn't quite pony all that, but he said nothing for fear of being called gloopy and a domeless wonder boy. Well, we went off now round the corner to Attlee Avenue. There was this sweets and cancers shop still open. We'd left them alone near 3 months now, and the old district had been very quiet on the whole, so the armed Millicents or Ros patrols weren't round there much, being more north of the river these days. We put our maskies on. New jobs these were, real horror show. Wonderfully done, really. They were like faces of historical personalities. They gave you the names when you bought. And I had Disraeli, Pete had Elvis Presley, Georgie had Henry VIII, and poor old Dim had a poet vec called P.B. Shelley. They were a real like disguise, hair and all, and there were some very special plastic vests, so you could roll it up when you're done with it and hide it in your boot. Then three of us went in, Pete keeping Chusser without, not that there was anything to worry about out there. As soon as we launched on the shop, we went for Slouse, who ran it, a big port wine jelly of a vec, who vidded at once what was coming and made straight for the inside where the telephone was and perhaps his well-oiled pushka, complete with six dirty rounds. Dim was round that corner, scurry as a bird, sending packets of snouty flying and cracking over a big cutout, showing a sharp with all her zubies going flash at the customers and her grudies near hanging out to advertise some new brand of cancers. What you could vidy then was a sort of a big ball rolling into the inside of the shop behind the curtain, this being old Dim and Slouse sort of locked in a death struggle. Then you could sluishy panting and snoring and kicking behind the curtain, and vestures falling over and swearing and then glass going smash, smash, smash. Mother Slouse, the wife, was sort of froze behind the counter. We could tell she would screech murder, given one chance, so I was round that counter very scorry and had a hold of her. And a horror show big lump she was, too, all nuking of scent and with flip-flop big bobbin grudies on her. I'd got my rook around her rot to stop her belting out death and destruction to the four winds of heaven, but this lady doggy gave me a large, foul, big bite on it, and it was me that did the creeching, and then she opened up beautiful with a flip yell for the Millicents. Well, then she had to be tall-chocked proper with one of the weights for the scales, and then a fair tap with a crowbar they had for opening cases, and that brought the red out like an old friend. So we had her down on the floor and a rip of her platties for fun and a gentle bit of the boot to stop her moaning. And vidding her lying there with her grudies on show, I wondered should I or not. But that was for later on in the evening. Then we cleaned the till, and there was flip horror show takings that much, and we had a few packs of the very best top cancers apiece. Then off we went, my brothers. A real big, heavy, great bastard he was, Dim kept saying. I didn't like a look at Dim. He looked dirty and untidy, like a vec who'd been in a fight, which he had, of course, but you should never look as though you have been. His cravat was like someone had trampled on it. His maskie had been pulled off, and he had floor dirt on his lip, so we got him in an alleyway and tidied him up a malenky bit, soaking our tashtooks in spit to chase the dirt off. The things we did for old Dim. We were back in the Duke of New York, very scorry, and I reckoned by my watch, we hadn't been more than 10 minutes away. The starry old babuchkas were still there on the blackened suds and Scotchmen we'd bought them, and we said, "Hello there, girlies. What's it going to be?" They started on the very kind lads. God bless you, boys. And so we rang the collar call and brought a different waiter in this time, and we ordered beers with rum in it, being sore athirst, my brothers, and whatever the old ptitsas wanted. Then I said to the old babuchkas, "We haven't been out of here, have we? Been here all the time, haven't we?" They all caught on real scorry and said, "That's right, lads. Not been out of our sight, you haven't. God bless you, boys." Drinking. Not that it mattered much, really. About half an hour went by before there was any sign of life among the Millicents, and then it was only two very young Rosses that came in, very pink under their big copper schlemmies. One said, "You lot know anything about the happenings at Slouse's shop this night?" "Us?" I said, innocent. "Why, what happened?" "Stealing and roughing. Two hospitalizations. Where have you lot been this evening?" "I don't go for that nasty tone," I said. "I don't care much for these nasty insinuations. A very suspicious nature all this betokeneth, my little brothers." They've been in here all night, lads, the old sharp started to creech out. God bless them, there's no better lot of boys living for kindness and generosity. Been here all the time, they have. Not seen them move, we haven't. We're only asking, said the other young Millicent. We got our job to do like anyone else. But they gave us the nasty warning look before they went out. As they were going out, we handed them a bit of lip music. But myself, I couldn't help a bit of disappointment at things as they were those days. Nothing to fight against, really. Everything as easy as kiss my shallies. Still, the night was still very young. When we got outside of the Duke of New York, we vidded by the main bar's long lighted window a burbling old pianista or drunkie, howling away at the filthy songs of his fathers and going blup, blup in between, as though it might be a filthy old orchestra in his stinking rotten guts. One vesture I could never stand was that. I could never stand to see a mooge all filthy and rolling and burping and drunk, whatever his age might be, but more especially when he was real starry like this one was. He was sort of flattened to the wall, and his platties were a disgrace, all creased and untidy and covered in cal and mud and filth and stuff. So we got hold of him and cracked him with a few good horror show tall chocks, but he still went on singing. The song went, and I will go back to my darling, when you, my darling, are gone. But when Dim fisted him a few times on his filthy drunkard's rot, he shut up singing and started to creech, go on, do me in, you bastard cowards, I don't want to live anyway, not in a stinking world like this one. I told Dim to lay off a bit then, because it used to interest me sometimes to slushy what some of these starry decreps had to say about life and the world. I said, oh, and what's stinking about it? He cried out, it's a stinking world because it lets the young get onto the old like you done, and there's no law nor order no more. He was creeching out loud and waving his rookers and making real horror show with the slovos, only the odd blurt, blurt coming from his kishkas like something was orbiting within, or like some very rude interrupting sort of a mooge making a shoom. So this old vet kept sort of threatening it with his fists, shouting, it's no world for any old man any longer, and that means that I'm not one bit scared of you, my boyos, because I'm too drunk to feel the pain if you hit me, and if you kill me, I'll be glad to be dead. We smacked and then grinned, but said nothing, and then he said, what sort of a world is it at all? Men on the moon and men spinning round the earth like it might be midges round a lamp, and there's not no attention paid to earthly law nor order, not no more. So your worst you may do, you filthy, cowardly hooligans. Then he gave us some lip music, like we'd done to those young Millicents. And then he started singing again. Oh, dear, dear land, I fought for thee and brought thee peace and victory. So we cracked into him lovely, grinning all over our litsos, but he still went on singing. Then we tripped him so he laid down flat and heavy, and a bucket load of beer vomit came whooshing out. That was disgusting. So we gave him the boot, one go each, and then it was blood, not song nor vomit, that came out of his filthy old rot. Then we went on our way.
This has been Harper Audio. HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording and has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright laws to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio is provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity for the Internet Multicasting Service is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet.